liberty in the Lord tonight. Preach the word of the Lord. Amen. They are leaving tomorrow at noon from Anchorage and arriving in Kansas City at midnight and then getting on another plane and flying to Georgia. So they're world travelers here going from one coast to the other. Praise God. But it's good to have friends in the kingdom of God. And they're going to a wedding, but also ministering the word of the Lord when they're in Georgia. And we love them and appreciate them very much. And very thankful for the time that we've had with them here. Already the last service, my goodness. It goes by so quick. But look what the Lord has done. Oh, that's what counts. Look what the Lord has done. Praise God. Amen. Brother Cornejo, come and preach. God bless you tonight.
Amen. Can we give the Lord a big round of applause, everybody? Can we worship Jesus just for a moment longer? I feel Jesus, and I don't like to be in a service or to preach, especially without feeling Jesus. Amen. I don't think that it would be safe to do so, or neither could we expect very much to happen. Amen. If Jesus is not there, I don't want to be either. Amen. Let's open our Bibles in Matthew chapter 10, and I really want to honor. You're going to open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 10, and verse 1, and then also Mark chapter 16. And I also want to honor your pastor. We have been so blessed. I was actually texting my pastor today, and I was telling him, he was asking how we were doing out here, and he had actually come to Alaska in 1991, Brother Gleason, and he was telling me, it was a while ago, and he told me about he preached here. Okay, he was telling me about some eagles that he saw and fishing on the Kenai and all that stuff. And anyway, I was letting him know how blessed we really were and have been just to be here through this week. And just thank you so much for everything. I mean, for the accommodations. Now, there's some places you go and then you pray in Jesus' name that they'll get to ask you to come back, and it'd be a joy to be there, you know. And then there's some places where you're a little busy to go there. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. This is one of the places that I'd love to come back. Absolutely. And I'm graced by your request for us to come and honored. Amen. Amen. And very honored to be here. I really am. Thank you so much. And coming from Los Angeles, you know, it's not quite Alaska, but I have been to Alaska 3 times already. And so I don't know. Maybe I fit in somehow, some way. You know what I mean? I don't know. Anyway, but I'm grateful to be here nonetheless, and I know that God is going to do something today. And like I said, I want to honor your pastor and his wife and his family. Thank you so much for your love, your support, not only to us, but also to this church. If you love your pastor, and also Pastor Wicker is here, and I know there's people from his church. If you love them, would you give them all a round of applause today? Amen. Let's honor the men and women of God here in this house. Amen. And also, I want to honor Pastor Wicker and his family, amen, getting to talk with them and his kids, amen. They're awesome, amen. They get up here and start ministering, and it's amazing. So great to see them. And also, the time we had together to minister at youth camp, was it 2 summers ago? Yeah, two summers ago last year, and it was a blessing. It really was, and I just appreciate them and love them. Thank you for your time and all that, for coming out to these services. Amen. And Brother and Sister Abbott, love you guys so much. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. That's all right. Amen. They are servants here in the house of the Lord. And, I mean, I think I could go on talking about what we've talked about or talking about what's happened at your, you know, your house and so on. But I do remember last time I was here, I think Brother Abbott was a little bit surprised by my request. There was snow on the ground, and I said, hey, Brother Abbott, you know, he's telling me that he was going to go plow the snow here in the parking lot when there was snow. You remember that? And I said, hey, excuse me, where are you going? You know, he said, I'm going to go plow the snow. And I'm assuming this is an undesirable job, you know, for people to do, right? I guess it'd be like sweeping parking lots back in Los Angeles. That's what my dad used to make us do, you know, it's like grunt work. And I said, well, let me go with you. I want to see how this is done, you know. And I was all excited. And then he took me around over here and there. And he didn't never did let me drive the truck, you know. But that's all right, Brother Abbott. I was just kidding. No, I never asked. But, hey, man, I had a good time doing that. And I'm so blessed just to get to know them. Thank you so much for your love and support, Brother and Sister Abbott. Amen, amen. I'm so grateful for them and Brother and Sister Via, you know, with the hot dogs. I will never forget you. I'm telling you, food is one way to my heart. There's no doubt about that. And then the cookies that she got the other night, I mean, I had a couple of the cookies, then I had one too many. And so I'm grateful for you. Amen. Thank you for your family. God bless you guys. And also, last but not least, I want to honor my wife and my son, who I am so blessed to have them alongside of me. Amen. To be doing what I'm doing. Give them a round of applause. That's all right. Amen. 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 She, to go, we will be probably not necessarily sleeping in the airport, but we won't get to go back to our apartment through this Friday night to Saturday morning. And so she will be with me the entire time. And it's, I mean, she's a trooper, when you put it that way. There's so many other stories I could tell you, but I'm not going to go there. Amen. But I just am so grateful for them. And my son just now is along for the ride, whether he likes it or not. You know what I mean? Amen. Matthew chapter 10, let's go to the word of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Everyone shout power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And let's go to Mark chapter 16. Amen. Mark chapter 16, and we'll go to verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Do I have a believer in the house? Amen. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after, and then let's go to verse 20. The Bible says, and they went forth, and I believe this is so important. They went forth and preached everywhere. And we talked a little bit about that last night, about preaching the word of God, reacting to the experiences that we've had. And it says, the Lord working with them. Now that's important, that the Lord is working with you, that you are not alone, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Would you put your Bibles to one side? Let's ask Jesus one more time just to be with us and align our hearts in the right place. Jesus, we thank you. Go ahead. Would you lift your voice? Would you go ahead and pray? Whatever you feel in the spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're going to do, for everything that you've already done, fulfilling those with the power of the Holy Ghost, for allowing a river of the Holy Ghost to flow through this city, God, and to this peninsula. In the name of Jesus, I loose the gift of faith into this atmosphere, God, that your will be done here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your love, your goodness here tonight. In the name of Jesus, and we're expecting great and mighty things to take place. Would you clap your hands to Jesus? Would you love on him one more time? If you feel like shouting, would you open your mouth and shout unto the Lord? Come on, with the voice of triumph, because we've got the victory. Amen, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, tell them you love them, tell them you like what they're wearing. Amen. After that, you may be seated. Amen. This last night of revival, I am going to kind of sum up. You may hear things that I've said throughout the week. I'm going to say them again. Repetition is the best teacher. It's been proven. How many people have ever read a book and you read the same chapter about 10 times? That happens to me all the time, right? Anyway, all right, I won't get into that. But tonight, if you have need of a miracle here in this place, I believe that God can and that He will perform that miracle. Amen? If you will all believe with me and you'll believe for that miracle, that God can and will do that here tonight. Amen. Whatever you have need of, I believe that Jesus can do it here in this place, because that is the type of God that we serve. We serve a miracle-working God. Amen. In the book of Matthew, as we just read, chapter 10, Jesus, the Bible's talking about Jesus, and is talking about Him calling unto Him His 12 disciples. Now, how many of you have been called as disciples of the Lord? Would you raise your hand for me? I have also been called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Anybody that is a believer can identify themselves as a disciple or someone that has been called by Jesus Christ. But the thing I love about this scripture that really stands out to me is the Bible says not only did He call them, but He gave them something. And so when He called them, the Bible says He gave them power. Everyone shout power. Against unclean spirits. And it so goes on to cast them out, heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, this is what I love about this faith that you and I have and this Jesus that you and I serve. And I don't know if I cling to this a little too much or what, but I feel like I'm right somewhere along the line about this. And what I love is that I don't just preach to you a good saying, right? You don't just have a good religion that makes you feel good, or a good verbiage or good proverb that you can kind of make you feel good and fuzzy inside for a few minutes. But along with that good scripture, along with the Word of God, along with the power of the Word of God, is the power of the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. And so when Jesus called you, He also gave you power to heal all manner of sickness. He gave you power to do something with that power. He gave you power against the sicknesses in this world, against the evil spirits in this world. And I would even say not just against them, but over them. The Bible says He gave you power, right, over the power of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. God gave you power over that. And so if you're a disciple here today, whether you feel like it or not, Jesus has given you power against unclean spirits. He's given you power to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So you don't have to preach the word empty-handed. You don't have to preach a message with just a few words on your side. God is going to back you up if you're preaching the word of God. Amen. In Mark chapter 16, it goes on and it talks about the believer and what the believer signs that will follow the believer. And it talks about a believer being someone that will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, last night, I talked to those of you that were here about talking about what God has done in your life, about going out and telling people something and reacting to what God has done. But now, tonight, I want to talk to you about the power that you have to back up your work. Words. You ever heard anybody say, walk, you know, if you're gonna talk the talk, you might as well walk the walk, right? If we're going to say that we're Christians and we're set apart and we're different, we might as well walk the walk too. And guess what? Jesus has given us power to walk that walk as well. Jesus had given you power here today to walk that walk. There are people all over this world. There are billions of people in the world today, and I have heard people say, ask themselves these questions, who they are, why they're here, and what is their purpose, and what is the reason for me being here. Some people in this building, you've probably asked yourself the same exact thing, and there are people all over this world that will spend years and spend money. My own sister, she is about, 19 years old. She goes to college down in Los Angeles, and she told me that she had an instructor that was there for several years at the college. I don't know what he taught, but one summer he just went out from one summer to the next, and he said he was trying to find himself. That's what he said, what his purpose was. The guy was, you know, wasn't 19 or 20 years old. He was a little bit wiser, amen, as I've already explained that word to you. And so he was a little more experienced in life. And my sister was telling me that one summer he literally went out, and he went out to, I don't know where he went. I don't know if it was New Mexico or what was New Mexico where he went. And he went out to these isolated places to go and kind of just feel the spiritual realm around him and so on. Well, before you know it, in doing so and trying to find his purpose, he lost his job. And he's no longer working at the college. He just kind of went up, and nobody knows where he's at, and that's it. It's over for the guy. We don't know what's going on. He kind of went a little loony. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? There are people in this world that do that all the time. Go backpacking through different excursions and going to different cultures to find out where they fit in best and what foods they like best and what people they can live amongst the best. And they're constantly looking for a purpose in life and looking for something, and as I've already said, a power that's greater than themselves. But in their journey, in their excursions, they realize that they've not found the greatest thing. And I want to tell you here today that I have an answer to that search. I have an answer to those questions. And the first answer is we are designed to live in relationship with Jesus. And the second answer is that we are also designed and purposed to go tell this world about Jesus. But what I love about it is that Jesus didn't just give us a couple of words to say, but Jesus gave us power to overcome the enemy, power to speak that word of healing, power to speak the word of faith into somebody's life. So that they can know that what we have is different than everybody else. We've got it here today. Turn to your neighbor and say, we've got it. The greatest thing is for you to know that you have the power of Jesus living inside of you. The worst thing for you is to not know how to use it. Anybody giving a gun to somebody that don't know how to use it? No, that's my point. You don't do that, right? Because they can hurt somebody. But when they know how to use it, it can be a great benefit. And when you know how to use what God has given you, it can be a great benefit. But first, you've got to know what God has given you. And that's what my intention here tonight. God is going to impart tonight to some people, those that want it, faith and boldness and the authority to continue walking in faith and boldness to pray for the sick and they be healed. Amen. And I'm going to share some testimonies, and God's going to do that here today. I know that I was asking God one day. I said, you know, I want to understand miracles. I don't really understand miracles. Why miracles? And I asked the Lord, you know, you could have chosen, you know, to show people yourself in so many different ways. And I mean, if you know, maybe you could have went ahead and dropped $5,000, right, you know, out of the sky, just randomly, completely random. If someone were to say, Jesus, are you really God? You know, and then if you are really God, would you show me? And then Jesus drops $5,000 out of the sky. Can you imagine that? I mean, that'd be awesome. I think if someone got real clever, they'd, you know, one day go to Jesus, they ask that great question, the Lord would reveal himself to them in a great payment of $5,000. Do I need to up it up because this is Alaska? 10,000? Okay, there we go. 10,000. Okay. They got to ship your stuff in. I understand. Shipping costs, all right? And so shipping and handling, that's what, there it is. And so, you know, and $10,000 would drop out of the sky. Now, someone real clever might wake up that next morning and say, hey, Jesus, if you're really God, would you show me one more time? And keep on getting blessed. You know what I mean? I think the Lord would eventually have to put a limit to it. But God could have chosen any which way to show himself that he was God. I mean, he could have chosen absolutely anything. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, there's so many different things, and I won't get into all that, but there's so many ideas. You know, the Lord could have chosen absolutely anything. But I remember asking God, why miracles? I want to understand why miracles. And the Lord said, well, I want you to think about hell. And so I thought, all right, well, I'll think about hell. And I begin to think about hell and what's going to be there. And I begin to think, well, hell is going to be hopeless. Number one, hell is going to be torment. eternal flames. There's going to be torment. It's going to be hopeless. God will not be there. There'll be all kind of the torment of sin there in that place. And you think about that, and it will be endless, and it will be without hope of ever getting out. I thought to myself, wow, what a crazy place. And I pray in the name of Jesus that I do not go there. But I make heaven my home. Amen. That's why it's important. Then the Lord began to tell me, well, I want you to think about earth. And so I began to think about earth and realize there's war in earth and there's sin on the earth and there's temptation on the earth and there's evil and there's famine and there's sickness and infirmities and death. And there's all of these things on the earth, right? And we realize from the beginning that because of Adam's sin, that sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, and therefore everything around us decays, and that's why the trees die, and that's why eventually your body will die and shrivel up and so on, and everything here that is material will die, will pass away, because sin has infiltrated itself into this earth. And so therefore people have even gone through sicknesses. Those of you that have had sicknesses in your body, sicknesses are a result of sin. Now, that does not mean that because you are sick that you have sin, and that's the punishment for your sin. Let me explain. When sicknesses came onto this earth, it was because it was a progress of sin. It was a result of sin, and it was the progress unto death. So if you're sick, that don't look at someone who's sick and say, oh, what's going on with their life? That was already explained in the Bible. Amen. Jesus mentioned this sickness is not because of someone's sin, right? For the glory of God. All right. Now, we got to understand, though, that sin came into the world, and sin goes ahead and brings forth death. And the process in which you get to death is different. Some people will get sick, and then they'll eventually die. And so sicknesses are in the world because of sin, which then eventually bring forth death. And that's why you look back in history, and people would die from what? A common cold. People would die from asthma attacks, and people would die from common things that we have healing or that we have medicine for, right? That can eventually heal your body and help your body. Amen. And so we got to understand this here today, that earth has these diseases and sicknesses, and sometimes you and I battle with them just because we are susceptible to the things that are on this earth. As human beings, that's just the way it is. And we've been created with a fallen nature inside of us. Therefore, that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, to change us, to help us, to give us strength to overcome the things of this world. And so the Lord began to talk to me about earth. And so hell, we realize, is a place of no hope and a place of just craziness and chaos and so on. And then earth has got sin in it and temptations and evil and sickness, especially and infirmities. And then the Lord said, but I want you to think about heaven. And so I begin to think about heaven, and as I begin to think about heaven, I begin to go back to that scripture in Matthew chapter 10. The Bible says, if you read on in that chapter, that Jesus told the disciples when he gave them power, he told them, go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, obviously, the kingdom of heaven was a spiritual kingdom. Amen. And so the Lord said, I want you to think about heaven, Jesse, because I'm going to explain to you why miracles. And I thought, begin to think about heaven. And I realized there's no sicknesses in heaven. There's no diseases in heaven. There's no cancers in heaven. There's no wheelchairs, no handicaps, no disabled, no deaf or lame in heaven. There's none of those things going to be in heaven. There will be no death in heaven. We will live for eternity. We won't have fear in heaven of one day getting sick and dying. We won't have fear of these things in heaven. Heaven will be the ultimate place of joy and of peace, of walking with God. We won't have this flesh and this body to deal with and the things that are on this earth that we have to deal with. And so what happens when a miracle takes place is literally this. We are preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? When we go preach, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You're preaching about a God from another world. You're preaching about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven. And when you go to somebody and they're sick in their body, to me, that's a prime opportunity for them to know about Jesus. Amen. I mean, every once in a while, it just happens to me. I'll be sitting somewhere and I'll see someone walk in with crutches, and I just like lock eyes on them, you know, or someone's rolling in a wheelchair, and I'm just like, oh my God. I mean, it's just some people, it's devastating to me. It's an opportunity for Jesus to show up. Gonna get amen, Brother Wicker. I know he knows what I'm talking about. I'm glad he's here tonight because he's got the same faith that I'm talking about. Amen. I'm telling you here tonight that we've got to get a hold of this. And when we do, we're going to walk with a new authority and boldness. And when a miracle happens, all of a sudden, that person that's sick in their body, you begin to lay hands. And there's literally a transfer of heaven through the believer onto that sick body. And all of a sudden, the greater of the power is allowed to stay, and the lesser of the power has got to go. So guess what? Because you've got a power from another world living inside of you, and his name is Jesus, and he is more powerful than any sickness in this entire world. That sickness has got to go in the name of Jesus. I've got the same thing you've got, and you've got the same thing I've got. Jesus is living inside of us. We've got kingdom power here today. We've got power to display the kingdom of God here on this earth. Would you clap your hands to Jesus? Would you shout unto the Lord for a moment? Turn to your neighbor and say, I am not alone. We are preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what I love, because you know what? I don't have to have all the right words to say. Just give me somebody that's sick in their body. Just give me somebody that's got fear. Give me somebody that's got depression. Give me somebody that can't find a way out. And I'm not the way out, but I will show them the name of Jesus. I will show them the way, the truth, and the life, whose name is Jesus Christ. And it'll happen when somebody gets a boldness and walks over, lays hands on somebody. They'll begin to feel the transfer of heaven flowing through you, going into their body. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. It's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand without ever saying a word? Isn't that pretty powerful? You can tell me you don't believe in Jesus all night. I don't care. You can tell me you don't believe in the Bible all night. It don't matter to me. Just bring me somebody that's sick. Bring me somebody that's down and out. Find somebody that needs something, that needs a way out. They might have tried 120 different things, but guess what? The moment that they encounter Jesus, you know, that happened with the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible says she was in and out of the doctor's office. But the Bible actually says that not only did she not get healed, but the Bible says she grew worse. In other words, when she walked into the doctor's office, she was bad. When she walked out, she was worse. You know what the Lord told me? The Lord said every time she walked in and out, that was just another opportunity for the enemy to come and inflict doubt into their life. It was just another opportunity, because as she walked out, she thought, well, I guess it really can't be healed. I guess it really can't be done. And all of a sudden, there comes Jesus walking down into her town. And as Jesus walking down into her town, all of a sudden, I imagine it this way, that she said, well, I mean, you got to think about this. This is 12 years. 12 years of trying and trying and having faith and trying and trying and trying and just trying on the wrong thing. And then all of a sudden, as Jesus is walking in, she's had to muster up the faith, push the doubt aside, and say, you know what, I've got to get to Jesus. I got to try one more time. I got to try one more time, because I haven't tried that physician. I haven't tried that healer right there. I just got to try it one more time. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks into the town, and there she goes. And now she's got a crowd in front of her. She's got to push past him. And now she's pushes through the crowd, and that's her effort to show Jesus that I mean business about receiving a miracle. And there she is, and all of a sudden touching the hem of his garment, and all the doubt is gone. The faith brings the healing, and this woman is instantly healed. You notice Jesus didn't say a word. She might not have even ever heard his teachings. All she heard probably was, oh, he's a healer. That guy right there, something's different about him. He's a miracle worker. He did this, that, and the other. That's all she might have ever heard. But guess what? All of a sudden, she went in with that faith, and she went in with that desire to be healed of God. And all of a sudden, she touched the hem of his garment. And because it was real and because it was true, all of a sudden, what the doctors couldn't do for 12 years was healed instantly in that moment. You realize that's the power of Jesus that lives inside of you. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, he said, go and wait for me. I will endue you with power from on high. 50 days later, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And 2,000 plus years later, we're still receiving it. And I've still got it. And so do you. You've got power inside of you to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, the lame will walk. Yes, the deaf eyes will be, the deaf ears will be opened. That's it. Yes, the blind eyes will be opened. Yes, cancers will leave. Not because I'm here, not because Brother Wicker, not because a pastor, but because Jesus is living inside of you. You don't got to wait for the preacher to come. All you've got to do is lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not a maybe, it's not an if, but it's a no. So Jesus will do it because he's true to his word and he's got to back up his name. Would somebody clap your hands to Jesus one more time? Tonight, God's going to impart that boldness and that faith on whoever wants it. And when God begins to speak to you throughout this week, and when God begins to speak to you throughout these days, it will happen. Watch, I guarantee the Lord's going to tell some of you, hey, her, she's sick in her body. Hey, him, something's going on with him. And all you've got to do is obey and know that Jesus lives inside of you and that you're the answer, that Jesus is the answer living through you here today. I've got it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got it. I'm telling you here today, it's the real thing. You're not alone. You're not alone. My uncle diagnosed with cancer. I remember praying a prayer, and as I was praying the prayer, I remember asking God, God, I want to see you do something I've never seen you do before. You know, and I remember the Lord responded right away. Now, any of you that have prayed any length of time at all, and have been in church any time at all, you will know that God does not always respond very quickly. Can I get an amen on that? All right. Some of you still praying prayers, just like me, that you're waiting for God to respond. Amen. Some are memorial type prayers you got to pray to God, and some will just happen right away. And I don't have time to get into all that. But I'm telling you here today that, you know, I remember God responding right away. And he said, hey, well, what do you want to see? And I said, oh, wow, God's responding pretty quick. Now, my bit of wisdom to you is when God responds pretty fast, go big, right? I mean, he's in a prayer answering mood, you know. Think of it like Moses, you know. The Lord responded to Moses. Moses just slipped one in on him. Show me your glory, Jesus. You know, it's kind of a real quick kind of deal. All right, yeah, hope that prayer was okay. I hope it was in the will of God, you know. And so there I was. I said, all right, Lord, well, I want to see cancer. I want to see cancer taken away in Jesus' name. I want to see it healed. The name, I've heard it preached about and so on. And a week later, my uncle was diagnosed with cancer. There I go, praying the prayer, diagnosing him with cancer. Anyone ever felt like that before? Man, I'm praying and it's getting worse. Let me tell you something. I prayed for a guy one time. I remember I was in Bible college, and I'm going to get back to my other story here. But as I went and prayed for the man, this was a year prior to the story I was telling you about my uncle. The pastor called and said, hey, bro, they want you to go and pray. And here this man is on his deathbed and he's going to die. He has no other chance. And I thought, well, just like I've preached to you, this is an opportunity for Jesus to do something. That's what I did. And I walked over. Man, we were speaking in tongues in the car on the way over. I was opening up the book of Acts, me and two other friends. I tried to grab the most Holy Ghost guys I could find, man. I thought, if it don't happen, you know, with my faith, well, at least it'll happen two or three, right? I'm using all the scriptures, you know, every scripture I can, pulling it all together. And there I am, book of Acts, Jesus' name, the lame man walks, and I'm quoting the scriptures. And I mean, I'm getting pumped in the Holy Ghost. And I walk over, and I felt the Lord tell me, you know, hey, he was going to be healed. And that's what I thought I heard. And remember, I was a junior in Bible college. I was really wanting it. And I remember all of a sudden walking into the room, and there the lady was, and there the man was, and his body had already shriveled up. He was literally on his deathbed. His body was about maybe 4 feet and a half inches. And I remember there he was. He couldn't talk, and his tongue was black because he couldn't produce saliva to get his tongue going and his mouth moving. It was just, I mean, he was literally on his deathbed. And there I was, remember, with the hope of glory. And I began to pray in the name of Jesus and command him to get up and command him to be healed. I really thought he was going to get back up. And I remember I told his wife, I said, listen, when he gets healed, I want you to call me because we're going to come and preach baptism in Jesus' name and him being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember the very next day, she texted me in the afternoon and said, hey, Jesse, a real nice text, said, you know, I know that you've been doing this for your ministry and God's moving on you and so on, and I want you to continue doing that, but I just wanted to let you know that my husband passed away early this morning. Anyone ever prayed for anybody and something like that happened? Oh, yeah. Now, I remember talking to somebody and I was a little discouraged, I'll be honest. And I didn't really understand because I really thought I was shocked that the man was not healed. And I remember just, you know, being puzzled about it. And I thought, well, I'm not too sure what's going on here. And I talked to somebody and they said, you know, the way that I would put it is that hell would look at you and say, you're a false prophet. You don't have faith, right? And begin to speak those lies. And you'll never see a miracle. Don't pray for people again. It's not going to work. And it's not for you to see. It's only for other people to see those miracles. It's not for you. You're not the real deal, if you will. Or you don't really have faith. And he said, but you know, I believe that heaven would look and say right there and just stand and say, well, I want to see if you're going to pray with the next guy with cancer with the same amount of faith that you just prayed with that guy for. I felt the challenge. I said, you know what? Look, I can either stop here before I ever get started and just say, well, I'm not praying for anybody again because of that one time. And then that would make me look as though I was the healer. You realize that? Because every time I lay a hand, I'm not the healer. I'm just the opportunity for Jesus to do it. Every time I speak the word, I'm just the opportunity for Jesus to do it. And so I watched as that man passed away. He died. He did not come back to life. That cancer went away at him. And there he was. And there I was. And I'm thinking, man, oh my goodness, what's going on? And all of a sudden, now I told the Lord, I want to see cancer. A year later, I told the Lord, I want to see cancer healed. I believe it can, and I will go at it with a vengeance in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is real, and if he's really on the throne, and if he's really God, then he'll really do it. I believe that. And so all of a sudden, my uncle was diagnosed with cancer, and there I was a couple weeks later at my father's church. My uncle was standing in the back, and the Lord all of a sudden told me in the altar call, said, point to your uncle and command the cancer to leave. And I could have easily said, well, I remember what happened last time, and I don't know, what if something bad happens? But I remember that faith being mustered up in my spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, and just be honest, you know, I might not have had all that faith, might not be a grown up walking in faith and praying people through all my life and so on. But there was one moment where I decided, look, either I believe the Bible is real or I don't. Either I believe that Jesus is real or I don't. And as Jesus told me and commanded me what to do, I pointed to my uncle in the back and I commanded the cancer to leave his body. 2 to 3 days later, we received a call that the cancer was completely gone from his body. It's been about 3 years since that day, and he is still cancer free. God is here in this building in that same fashion and lives inside of you. Would you clap your hands to Jesus here? Because that's the same Jesus that is in this building, and that's the same Jesus that is living in you. Jesus. We've seen more cancers healed since that day that man passed away. And I'm not 100% sure what happened. And I'm not going to make excuses for God because that's not my job. All my job is to do is to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus has got to back up his word. It's not my word and it's not my name on the line. Jesus' name is on the line. Jesus' word is on the line. He is real. He's the Almighty God. He's the healer. He's the way maker. He's the one that's living inside of you that will see people healed in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that the Lord is working with you. And in verse 20 of the book of Mark chapter 16, it says they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. He is not going to leave you alone. If you think that you're going healing people alone, it's not going to happen. If you think that you're going to go and lay hands on somebody and because so-and-so prayed for you and such happened, you fasted and prayed so long and they're going to be healed because of that, it's not going to happen. It's either Jesus working or it's not him at all. It's either Jesus going to do it or it's not going to happen at all. And I remember as I was in Colorado about over a year ago now. And I remember as I was in Colorado, there was a woman in the church. And she had crutches there. She had come in with crutches in that church. And her leg was messed up real bad. I don't know all the details of what was wrong, but she couldn't stand on it. She couldn't really walk on it, especially. I mean, there was nothing going on there with her leg and mobility in that leg. And I remember all of a sudden, I began to preach and the power of God began to move and the Lord did some amazing things. And I remember all of a sudden she began to talk to me after God had healed her. And I went over, I laid my hand on her. Now I'm going to show you exactly what I did. All right. And I remember I walked over, she was sitting down and I just put my hand on her and said, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and get up and walk. And she got up and she started walking around that entire church. I mean, it was powerful. God healed her body. She threw the crutches down and my wife even got some of it on video. She was just kind of moving walking around the whole church as the power of God came and healed her body. Now that's amazing. That's a powerful experience. Amen. You've got that same power living inside of you. I remember after that service, you know, I praised God. We worshiped God for what he did. Now that's important that you worship God for the miracle that he does. If you don't, I believe that the Lord, there's other miracles that God wants to do, but they won't be released because you're not giving glory to God. Amen. When you give God glory, it'll release the rest of the miracles that God wants to do. And I remember that lady coming up to me, talking to me afterward, and there at the restaurant, and the whole church, we went out, and there she was, and she said, hey, I want to talk to you for a moment. And I showed you what I did, and I remember all of a sudden she told me, she said, you know, I want to thank you so much. And I said, okay, you know, why is that? She said, well, you know, she said, you came over, and when you came over, I really wanted to appreciate you because you came over, and you got on your hands, and you got on your knees, and you wrapped your arms around my ankles, she said. This is what she told me. She said, I saw you come and you wrapped your arms around my ankles and you begin to pray. And then all of a sudden I begin to get up and start and I felt something go up my legs. And all of a sudden I could feel strength in my legs. This is what she told me. And now I just want everyone to understand. You guys know me by now. I've been here for about a week, all right? I don't get down on my hands and knees and start doing all that stuff, right, for a miracle. Has anybody seen me do that? It's kind of out of character for me. It really, I'll do it if Jesus tells me, but it's just out of character for me. And so I remember thinking about it, and I didn't think anything about it. You know, I just thought, well, praise God, that's awesome. God bless you. And about a couple of weeks later, it was Thanksgiving. I was walking in Chicago, and the Lord began to remind me of what had happened. And the Lord said, hey, listen, I want you to understand something. What that lady saw wasn't you. What that lady saw was an angel that ministered healing to her body. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. It was an angel in that room that did exactly what she said. It may have looked like me, it may have looked like somebody, I don't know. But I'm telling you today that there are angels that are working alongside of you, that are ministering healing with you. You are not alone here today. The Lord is confirming with signs following. You're not alone when you lay hands. If only you can see what was going on in the realm of the Spirit. If only you could see the host of angels that were getting around, that were all over this city. I feel the Holy Ghost here in this building right now. There is the presence of angels in this place, and they are going to leave with you tonight as you begin to minister in the boldness and the authority of the Holy Ghost. God is going to do it because you've got this power that's living inside of you. Would somebody really clap your hands to Jesus? Would you shout unto the Lord? Come on, that's it. Clap your hands one more time to Jesus. Clap your hands one more time to Jesus. That's it. The power of the Holy Ghost is in this building right now. The Lord came to empower somebody to let you know and give revelation and understanding of what you already have. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be a minister. All you've got to do is be a believer. All you've got to do is be a real Bible believer. You might not have all the words to say. You might not have everything to say right, all of the right theology, but you've got power living inside of you. You've got Jesus, a miracle working power living inside of you. Right now in unity, could we all do that together? Could we all clap our hands together? I feel something in the atmosphere. Would you all, everybody in unity, would you clap your hands? Would you shout to Jesus? Would you thank Him? Would you love Him? Hallelujah. There are no sicknesses in heaven. There are no diseases in heaven. But Jesus wants to display that here on this earth today in 2018. Jesus wants to display the kingdom of heaven is at hand at your job, at your school, down in the street. Jesus wants to do it wherever you go. He's willing to do it through you, through me. Jesus is willing to do it. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. That's it. That's it. I'm not alone. There are ministering angels going to minister alongside of you. They're going to minister healing alongside of you. I remember as we begin to pray, you can stand if you're standing, you can sit if you want. I remember we begin to pray there for my wife's uncle. He was diagnosed with cancer and was sent to the hospital. And as he was there, I remember he was about 1,000, almost 2,000 miles away in Missouri. We were in California. And all of a sudden they called and said, they want you to pray. They've heard about some miracles that are happening and believe that something can happen. Now, he was on his deathbed with cancer eating away there at his kidneys. And all of a sudden, they called and they said, well, you know, we believe that God can do something. And all of a sudden, I remember the Lord speaking to me, telling me, I'll heal his body right now. But I want their souls. I want them to render their life to me in that hospital room. And all of a sudden, I told them, as my wife and I were there in that car, and we were literally sitting in a parking lot in our car with the phone on speaker, we begin to lay hands on that phone. Now here's the deal. That didn't happen in the Bible. They didn't have phones. We laid hands. But see, here's the reality. I thought about Paul, and the Bible says that Paul ripped up handkerchiefs, sent them forth, and demons were cast out, people were healed. And I asked the Lord, where in the world did Paul get this mentality and this idea that he can go ahead and send forth handkerchiefs and people can be healed? Where did he get that from? The Lord told me, well, nowhere. This is what the Lord said. There's no priest that did it. There's no pattern of the Old Testament that did it. Amen? Nobody sent forth their handkerchiefs and went forth healing people. The Lord told me real simple. It's really easy. It's just that he had faith for it to be done. That's it. That's all. And so I thought, well, if he had faith for that to be done, and I'm not too heard too many miracles over a phone, at least at that point in my life, I hadn't. And I thought, well, Jesus said it can be done. I don't have time to fly out there. I know that he can do it. I'll lay my hands on this phone. And right there, I remember the Lord telling me there's ministering angels going to that hospital room right now. And all of a sudden, they begin speaking in tongues in that room. The people that had flown in to go and see him in that room, they begin speaking in other tongues. Some of them hadn't spoken tongues in a long time. Some of them were backslidden. I remember, and all of a sudden you can hear over the phone tongues going off, the Holy Ghost moving. We begin to command that cancer to leave. And as he was supposed to die, a few days later he got out of that hospital bed completely healed of that cancer. I'm telling you today, that same power is living inside of you. If somebody were to believe that, we would flip this world right side up. If somebody were to believe that, we would flip this world right side up with the power of Jesus for the kingdom of God. Would somebody shout unto the Lord? Would you clap your hands one more time? Because you've got it. He's going to empower you. He's going to impart this faith to you tonight. Right now, where you're at, if you want this, and on a different level, on a deeper level, I want you to run on down to this altar. If you want God to use you this way, on a deeper level, in a deeper dimension, God's going to use you in a mighty way. It's going to go beyond me. You're going to see greater miracles than I've ever seen. You're going to see greater miracles than pastors ever seen. You'll see greater miracles than Pastor Wicker's ever seen, because that's what it's all about, that we would do greater work. Works than these. Would you come quickly with your hands lifted up? Give me one moment with your hands lifted up. With your hands lifted up now, now, now. That's it. God is going to pour out. That's it. And impart this faith all over this building and the authority in which to go and exercise the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go, go, go. Go ahead. Go ahead. Begin to speak now. Begin to pray now. Begin to speak in other tongues now. Open your spirit. Pastor Wicker, would you help me pray with people? Would that be all right? Pastor's going to lay hands on you, and he's going to impart the gift of faith in the name of Jesus. Pastor's going to come. Yeah, yeah. There it is now in the name of Jesus. By the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, we're going to shout hallelujah on the count of three. I impart the gift of faith to whoever desires. Is it here in this building? Let's shout hallelujah. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Faith now, Jesus. You got it, bro. You got it. You got it. You got it. In the name of Jesus, faith like no other, boldness in the name of Jesus be imparted to you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, that's it. I want you to shout unto the Lord. That's it. That's it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Right now, bro, it's coming all over you now in the name of Jesus. There it is. There it is. Yeah, yeah. Faith like never before. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's happening all over this building. It's happening all over this building right now. People are coming. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, bro. That's it. Go ahead. Shout. Shout unto the Lord. That's it. Yeah, 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 bro. That's it. You're going to change your world around you. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, 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 yeah In the name of Jesus, he's going to do it to you. He's going to do it for you. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Right now, faith, go in Jesus' name. Miracles, signs, wonders. In the name of Jesus, we've got kingdom power in this building. We've got kingdom power, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, such as I have, give I thee. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. That's it. In the name of Jesus. It's all over you. It's all over you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, leader to every person that you desire to receive. In the name of Jesus. Now. That's it. Receive it. Receive it now. The impartation of faith. Go such as I have. Give I thee. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. That's it. It's going to come on you right now. Jesus. Now, that's it. Receive it now. We're going to flip this world right side up. Right now in Jesus' name. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah, we've got kingdom power. We've got kingdom power now living through us, living in us. Now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I want you to pray for you for a moment. Go ahead. Yeah, receive it now. Receive it now. The impartation of faith. Go now. Jesus' name. That's it. It's happening all over. I'm telling you, angels are going to work with you, alongside of you, ministering healing, ministering the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here today. Go ahead. Don't stop. Yeah. That's it. In the name of Jesus. Now I impart the gift of faith like never before. Again, and strengthen your body in Jesus' name. From head to toe, right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Command your body be healed now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's it. God's changing some people's lives right now. God is literally rearranging some people's minds right now. That's it. You have been empowered here today. You have been empowered with the Holy Ghost. You have been empowered with the Holy Ghost that's already in you now to walk in a boldness and an authority of faith like never before. That's it. Yeah, signs, miracles, wonders. It's going to happen all around you. The gifts of the Spirit are going to begin to flow through you like never before. In the name of the word of knowledge and word of wisdom will begin to flow through you. That's it. In the name of Jesus. Yeah.